Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, Josh Davis reveals how the world is moving toward a one-world economy, and a central bank digital currency is not far behind. Then a little later, Micah Van Hus shares an exciting preview of this year's Mysteries of the Bibleverse Conference. A special hello goes out today to all of our new listeners to Watchmen on the Wall. Make sure you get the free new listener pack. Inside, you'll receive the latest issue of our monthly newsletter, The Prophetic Observer, and a free gift. Get your free new listener pack when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. And to everyone tuned in today, please remember that when you share a gift with SWRC, you're helping us spread the good news of the gospel. Every day, more and more people are learning that God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Thank you for your gifts and prayers. How is the world moving toward a one-world economy and a central bank digital currency? What are the threats posed by this economic system? How will the Antichrist use this kind of system during the Great Tribulation? Josh Davis pulls back the curtain to reveal how the stage is being set for a one-world economy, just as Bible prophecy describes.
A global digital currency looms on the horizon, and technology is quickly changing the economy, and there are global elites that are advancing their economic vision. Now, I know how far-fetched that sounds, so I want to show you how each of those statements is true. And yesterday I spoke about the one world government that's rising. Today I want to talk about the rise of the one world economic mindset. Now, all this is tied to Bible prophecy and a proper understanding of what Scripture says. The Bible describes a one world economy during the Great Tribulation. Revelation chapter 13, the last few verses, verses 16, 17, and 18, describes the system under the Antichrist's rule. Those verses say, "And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save that he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. In other words, the infamous 666. Everyone on earth is going to have to receive this mark of the beast to buy or sell anything. Now, when I was a young child, I used to think, oh, how terrible it's going to be to not be able to go to the grocery store, to not be able to go through the drive-thru. Well, it's much, much worse than that, dear friends. That's just the beginning of the problems. No restaurants, no grocery stores, no supermarkets. None of these retailers will be available. But without the mark of the beast, people will have no access to housing, no access to medicine, no access to health care, to transportation, to food. Imagine life without just one of these things. Let's imagine a scenario when we are trying to live without access to utilities. No water, no electricity. Think for just a minute how many modern conveniences we use that require electricity. Look in your kitchen. You've got your refrigerator. You've got your microwave. You've got many other appliances and the lights that you use to see while you're cooking. Many of our stoves, our ranges run off of electricity. Our ovens are electric ovens. Think about just cooking. And just in that one room of your house, the very fact that you're listening to my voice right now means that some kind of electricity was used to create this program and to bring it to you. Without that, will you have radio? Will you have your cell phone? Will you be able to talk to people on the phone? Will you be able to communicate with people? What about air conditioning? Many of you, the country is starting to heat up. You maybe live in a warmer climate where you're running your air conditioning already. Many of you may be reliant on electricity to help to heat your home. And think about how much harder it's going to be for people who are trying to live without access to these kinds of things that utilities make possible. If we talk about turning off running water, you're talking about access to something to drink, and you're talking about access to bathing and and so many other things that we need that clean running water for. Think about how many of our communications depend upon utilities, the internet, mobile phones, computers, telephones. All that's going to be unavailable to those who don't get the mark of the beast during the Great Tribulation. So anybody who doesn't receive that mark is going to be forced to live completely off-grid in a very primitive manner. They won't have access to money or financial resources since all the currency is going to be centralized and digital. They're going to be cut off from the economy completely unless they can find somebody that's willing to barter with them goods and services in exchange for food or medicine or access to their utilities for a short amount of time, whatever the case may be. Maybe a shelf in their refrigerator where they can barter to store some things that they need to store. I mean, just think about the mindset that's going to be here during that Great Tribulation period. And with all the destruction that's going to take place, people's minds will soon shift from putting things in a refrigerator to just all-out survival. And so you see the rise of facial recognition tools that we discussed on yesterday's program, for instance. Would these non-compliant people be able to show their face in public at all? You know, would the cameras capture them and say, hey, John Smith is over here in quadrant number 2, and now he's in quadrant 3. Are there going to be special camps? Are there going to be special prisons for people who are non-compliant with the mark of the beast? I'm not trying to be a doomsday prophet or anything like that at all. I don't consider myself to be a prophet in the first place. I'm just trying to help you think through some of these scenarios that could be here. Now, again, as I said on yesterday's program, our ministry firmly believes and teaches the pre-tribulation rapture view. And the reason I'm sharing this information with the church is so that we can open our eyes to how the world is moving this way, and we can focus on sharing the gospel message while we have a moment of opportunity, a window of opportunity, and that we can help people to understand this is the reality that the world is going to face. Are we ready for the rapture? And so during the Great Tribulation period, people aren't going to have an option to comply or else kind of thing. So the Bible makes it clear that everyone's going to be forced to have this mark of the beast. Those who resist are going to be breaking the law of the Antichrist. And this one world economy will make it virtually impossible to survive without the mark of the beast. But the Bible does tell us there will be many who go against that system, who do not take that mark of the beast, and many believers who will survive even longer than the Antichrist does. So how could he control, he being the Antichrist, how could he control the economy worldwide? How could he move to a digital currency? And it could be that the Antichrist isn't the one who brings in a digital currency. It could already be in place by the time he gets into power. And this move towards a digital currency initially gives us a lot of those, ooh, look at this shiny new cool toy that I've got. And it's all these vibes that have promised convenience, easy access. You can do business with anyone, anywhere in the world. No exchange rates anymore. No having to wait till the money clears the bank from a different currency. We're all on the same currency. Think about the economic boom that can result when we're all on the same currency, no exchange rate needed any longer. So there's a lot of these shiny promises that are out there, and a centralized digital currency gives powerful elites the control that they need to get humanity in line with their agenda. So if the currency is digital, if the currency is cashless, there's not going to be any more anonymity in our transactions. Anything and everything that you use your money for will be recorded. And plus, it'll be much easier to control how people use their money by denying transactions between certain parties. Oh, that will never happen. You may be objecting to what I'm saying right now, saying, oh, come on, give us a break. Now, you're just painting some outlandish scenario. Well, can I tell you, some banks have canceled the accounts of Christian organizations over their moral standards in recent years. In fact, J.P. Morgan canceled the bank account of the Family Research Council for their strong political and conservative stance that they were taking. Now, that ignited a legal battle, and more evidence has shown that groups like the Family Research Council and others have greater protections in the United States of America at this point. But the reason I'm sharing that with you is to show what can happen at the whim of a controlling economic power if they decide to restrict or to cancel your access to funds. We can't kid ourselves that that'll never happen again. And the political ebbs and flows here in the United States of America are changing. You know, every 4 years, every 8 years, every 12 years, it seems like we're up and down, back and forth, left and right, back and forth in this power struggle that's happening. And so don't kid yourself that these things could never happen, even in the United States of America. It is happening around the world, even as we speak. So if all currency is digital and it's under the watch of a central bank, couldn't they simply cancel the accounts of individuals and groups that they don't like? Couldn't they control access to and how those funds are used and for what they could be used to purchase? So what happens when there's an emergency, like perhaps even a climate change emergency that they pronounce, and it compels those that are in power to decide, we can no longer purchase gasoline with our digital currency. They say, you've got to have an electric vehicle by this certain year, and everything is digital. Imagine this scenario where all the currency is digital, and they say, okay, your ability to purchase gasoline or fossil fuels ends on January 1st, 20, blah, blah, blah. And that's the date. Your gas-powered equipment will instantly become scrap metal unless you have some way to source fuel for it. And so what if a global lockdown hits, like we experienced back in 2020 with COVID, and the authorities decide you got to remain within a 5-block or a 2-mile or a 5-mile, whatever the decision is, you got to remain within this certain radius of your home. They could set a digital fence, a digital boundary around what you purchase. And if you try to go outside your boundary to purchase something over in another place, your finances won't work because you're outside of your zone. You're not able to purchase that, and you're going to have to figure something else out. You see the amount of control that could come with these kinds of things. And to be honest with you, friends, these are possibilities that I don't like to consider, but you got to think about and these potential consequences before you buy into a lot of the shiny new stuff that they're marketing to us. A totally digital monetary system provides enormous opportunities for banks to control how these funds are used. We're seeing a real push towards a central bank digital currency. That's where a country has this central bank. It could be a central bank within a particular country. And we see in the last 5 years the explosion of this move. Back in May of 2020, there was only 35 countries considering a central bank digital currency. And in just a few short years, that number has really skyrocketed to almost 150 countries, and that represent 98% of the global gross domestic product. And so we see that many nations are pushing for this. The U.S., through the Federal Reserve, has been testing a U.S. digital dollar transaction. And there's many cross-border promotions and tests that are being run between the Federal Reserve and other nations, between different central banks, trying to see how transactions would work between the different central digital banks. Just recently, I saw that there were 20-some tests going on with different nations. It could be just two nations working together with their central banks. It could be as many as 5, 7, 10 cross-border tests that are being run to see how the world could get on a central bank digital currency. You see, there's an international effort to bring banks together into a united global system. Groups like the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, are trying to bring about an international central bank digital currency. In fact, they launched an effort to that end back in 2023 in a meeting in Washington, D.C., and they envisioned that this currency would expedite international transactions between central banks. And the International Monetary Fund announced later in that same year, 2023, that it was working on a platform so that central banks can operate as a united global central bank. We're seeing how the global financial sector is continuing to move towards both a global and digital financial system. And they're doing it in the name of solutions to solve complex issues like currency exchange rates. And we do see that technology is shrinking our world, creating a greater demand for a standardized global monetary system. Many countries are mandating a national digital ID, and all transactions and financial institutions have to be linked to this national digital ID. And we're seeing that come on board country by country by country by country by country across the world. Now, among the world's top economies, the U.S. seems to be the last holdout from a central bank digital currency, although there is increasing pressure upon the U.S. to move in this direction. And we've seen some news and some information about how that we may be moving in that way. There are other groups at work in this, like the World Economic Forum, who has done their best for decades now to push the world in this direction. They're working hand in hand with a lot of globalist groups like the IMF that we've mentioned, like the United Nations, and many of these other globalist groups working arm in arm, hand in hand, trying to push, trying to promote this cooperation, as they call it, across the globe to bring us all online with a central bank digital currency. And we're seeing the technology emerge to make this happen. In fact, some studies suggest that by the end of the year 2026, there will be 3 billion people around the world that will be using some kind of biometric payment system. That means paying with your face scan, with a hand scan, something like that to make that transaction. You don't need your wallet. You don't need cash. You don't need a credit card. You don't need a debit card. All you need is your face. Just smile for the camera and your payment goes through. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just the greatest thing that there is? You go through the drive-thru and you don't have to scan a card. You just smile for the camera and you've paid and you go on. You go to a venue and you want to gain entrance into that particular building or that particular arena or venue. Just smile for the camera and your face is your ticket and walk on in. You don't have to remember, where did I put that ticket? I can't find it on my phone. I can't find it in my email. I never got a printed ticket. It must have got lost in the mail by the postal service. No, you just smile for the camera and your face lets you in. And by the way, those same kinds of cameras are being equipped with things that will check your temperature at the same time to make sure you're healthy and everybody else that's gaining access to that place is just as healthy. Well, I hope you can tell I'm talking tongue in cheek, dear friends, because we understand that everything that I've just described for you and to you are technologies that we have available right here, right now. There are things that are in place in many different public places across the United States of America, including a well-known story that I heard about the Las Vegas Police Department. They were wanting to use biometric registration and biometric cameras to help them capture some of the criminals in Las Vegas. And you can imagine what the rate of crime is in the Las Vegas area. As we like to say, it's Sin City. But when the Las Vegas Raiders opened their brand new stadium, they wanted the police to submit their biometric information so that their face could be scanned so that they could gain access to certain parts of the facility or be turned off from accessing certain parts of the facility. And the police department said, no. We don't want our officers, we don't want our security personnel to submit to this kind of privacy violation. So there's a lot of back and forth as people are wondering, how do we utilize these things? When are we crossing a line? And typically when a line is crossed, that's when you know you've gone too far, but it's hard to come back over that line. Once freedom has been given up, it is so very hard to regain. Friends, the kinds of information I'm sharing with you, and there's so much more that I could unpack for you, but I'm running short on time today. I just want to tell you, it's available in the book, Rise of the One World Mind, available at swrc.com or by calling 1-800-652-1144. I talk more about the World Economic Forum, talk more about some of these kinds of technological advancements that we see happening. I talk about ESG scores and the one world economy, environmental, social, governance scores, ESG. What does that have to do with a one world economy? How is it being used to strong arm businesses and corporations to get on board with the agenda? I cover that and much more in the book, Rise of the One World Mind, available at swrc.com and by calling 1-800-652-1144. I'm also very excited to tell you I've got two brand new DVD teachings that's based off of information found in the book and some information that's not in the book. The first one is called Rapture Anxiety. Lord willing, I'll be sharing some information about that in a couple of weeks. And the second one is called Brainwashing the Masses. I'll be sharing some information here on Watchmen on the Wall about that in a couple of weeks as well. And friends, I just want to invite you to join me on tomorrow's program as we look at the third of these three areas, the one world government, one world economy. The third one that we're going to explore tomorrow is the rise of the one world worship mindset. How do we see the stage being set for a one world system of worship, a one world religion? Well, we see it happening. How is it happening? We're going to explore that tomorrow. I invite you to join me then back here on Watchmen on the Wall.
Unmasking the agendas at work in our world seems intimidating. Fear threatens us into silent submission. Guilt trips trick our emotions to get on board with the global agenda. However, we don't need to be scared or intimidated. Josh Davis's book, Rise of the One World Mind, is more than merely listing the problems with the one world mind. This book seeks to offer solutions. This is not the time to go into hiding. Rather, this is the time to stand boldly upon God's truth. Some of the solutions offered in Rise of the One World Mind include understanding how the one world mindset is rising, discovering God's blueprint for conquering the mindset in your personal life, being equipped for the battle, standing strong as a faithful watchman on the wall, and most importantly, keeping our focus on Jesus. Rise of the One World Mind, How to Thrive Under the Threat of Globalism by Josh Davis. Order your copy of this outstanding book today. Call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can order Rise of the One World Mind on our website. Simply visit swrc.com. Micah Van Hus comes now to share the exciting details of this year's Mysteries of the Bibleverse Conference.
Folks, we have a special event coming up this year. We're talking about the Mysteries of the Bibleverse Conference. It will be hosted this year, June 13th and 14th in Carmel, Indiana. We have a number of wonderful speakers this year. Speaking for us is Derek Gilbert. Derek is a broadcaster and end time expert, connecting ancient texts to modern events. Derek has written a number of books. His most recent one is The Gates of Hell, talking about Jesus' descent into the underworld during the 3 days that his body was in the ground and his spirit was on the earth. His best-selling book, The Second Coming of Saturn, talks about who he believes Lucifer really is, and it's a fascinating topic that we've talked about on the Marginal Mysteries program before. Derek Gilbert will be speaking for us twice at the Mysteries of the Bibleverse, so make sure that you sign up for the Mysteries of the Bibleverse at swrc.com. Just click the events link at the top, or you can call 800-652-1144. Come on out and hear Derek Gilbert speak. We also have speaking for us this year, Carl Gallups. He's a pastor and best-selling author and popular prophecy conference speaker. If you've ever heard Carl Gallup speak, he speaks about all kinds of fascinating things. We look forward to having Pastor Carl Gallup's keynote for us on Friday night. As well, we have Sharon Gilbert, Derek Gilbert's wife. She is a molecular biologist. She reveals the link between science and prophecy. She's been doing this for a long time. You'll see her a lot on Skywatch TV. She will be speaking for us twice. So come on out to the Mysteries of the Bibleverse. We had a wonderful time last year at the Mysteries of the Bibleverse event. And this is June 13th and 14th. We're coming up on it very soon. We look forward to seeing you out there. Sign up at swrc.com. We also have the UFO pastor, Pastor Michael Hoggard. He's a pastor and researcher uncovering biblical connections to UFOs and aliens. He loves to talk about UFOs and aliens. Last year, he spoke about them. He also spoke about sightings of the spirit realm, talked about demonic sightings and videos that people have taken and posted on the internet of different supposed demonic activity and alien sightings. And he had some wonderful topics last year, and he got to talk about all of that. It's important in today's day and age, with all of the internet videos and all the things going on in this age of New Age enlightenment and all the things that you can put in your mind, that you get a solid biblical foundation for all the weird stuff going on around us. And what a better place and better way to learn about this stuff from a biblical perspective than at the Mysteries of the Bible Verse event. The knowledge of the Watchers is passed through these secret societies. It's called the Great Arcanum. And we talk about in the presentation, Secret Societies, this knowledge that is being passed through the world's secret societies for thousands of years, rooted before the flood. And what this knowledge is, teaching humankind that we do not need God, that we can become gods ourselves, that we will become enlightened. And of course, that's what we see through the New Age movement and all the way through. But this knowledge is not new. What the secret societies are trying to teach us is not new knowledge. It was actually the serpent in the Garden of Eden who told Eve that she did not need God, that she could become God herself. The serpent told Eve that if she would eat the fruit, she would become as God herself. So the secret societies are not trying to teach us anything new. We are also talking in secret societies about the goals of the secret societies today through the World Economic Forum, the Bilderberg Group, what they're trying to do, and leading to the Battle of Armageddon and the Revelation scenario. So come on out to the Mysteries of the Bible Verse event, June 13th and 14th. Have a great time with us. Be sure to sign up at swrc.com. The Mysteries of the Bible Verse, June 13th and 14th, swrc.com, or call 800-652-1144.
Josh Davis's book, Rise of the One World Mind, is more than merely listing the problems with the one world mind. This book offers solutions. Rise of the One World Mind, How to Thrive Under the Threat of Globalism. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. The true church has the light of life this searching world desperately needs. Will we succumb to the one world mind, or stand out as a beacon of light in the darkness? Rise of the One World Mind. 1-800-652-1144. Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet will usher in a demonic one-world system of worship during the Great Tribulation. How does the Bible describe this deceptive system? Why will the world go along with it? Find out on tomorrow's Watchmen on the Wall program as Josh Davis continues his study of the one-world system that's rising around the globe. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful friends like you. To learn more, visit our website, swrc.com. That's swrc.com.